feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. We have been involved in a vicious cycle here on Searchlight. In our studies in the book of Judges, we see a cycle of sin and repentance happen over and over again. The nation of Israel does well for a while, and then they turn from God and begin sinning. This leads to bad consequences, and after a time, they repent and cry out to God. In His faithfulness, God sends them another judge, another deliverer. As we begin a verse-by-verse study of Judges chapter 13, we see Israel involved in another one of these sinful cycles. The deliverer that God sends them this time is Samson, and as you may know, his story is very interesting. Let's now join Pastor John as we begin our study about Samson.
Judges chapter 13. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. My, oh my, once again we see the children of Israel turning away from the Lord, rebelling against the Lord, and then needing to be chastened or disciplined by the Lord. And so the Lord allows the Philistines to be his spanking spoon, his rod of correction. And the Philistines dominated the people of Israel for 40 long years to chasten, to correct God's children. Now the Philistines were originally from the area of Crete. That is, they were a European people. They were seafaring and they sailed in their ships from the Aegean Sea down to the Mediterranean coastal area of southern Israel. We call it the Gaza Strip today, and that's exactly where the Philistines were based at when they made their way from Crete and they came down to the southern part of Israel, the southwest corner, in the area that we know as the Gaza Strip today. And they had five major cities there, and the Philistines had been a presence in that area at this time when this story is unfolding for about 300 years or so. And they were the most sophisticated people as it relates to weaponry or armaments. They were advanced in their military abilities. They had iron weapons. They were really kind of like America is today. They were the dominant force militarily in this time in world history. So they're down there, the Philistines, and they have controlled that region, and they've moved up into other areas of Israel too. And for 40 years, the people of Israel were in bondage to the Philistines. Well, there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of Dan, the tribe of Dan, his name Manoah, and his wife was barren, not barrenness, but barren. She bore not. She didn't have any kids, so she was childless, obviously. But then one day, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman. And this angel of the Lord, who we know to be Jesus. Whenever you come across that phrase in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, it's always an appearance of Jesus before he came as the babe of Bethlehem. Before he came as Jesus of Nazareth, he would appear at various times throughout the Old Testament in this form that we call the angel of the Lord. So the angel of the Lord, that is the messenger, for that's what the word angel basically means. And Jesus, of course, is the Word made flesh, and the angel of the Lord came and appeared to Manoah's wife that day and said, "Behold, you are barren, and you bear not, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore be careful. Drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." So this angel of the Lord, Jesus, if you would, came to her that day and said, "Good news. Hey, you're going to have a son, and he is going to be used by God mightily. He is to be a Nazarite." Now, some people, when they hear that word Nazarite, they think of Nazarene or Nazareth. Nazareth was, of course, the town that Jesus grew up in. A Nazarene is one that is from Nazareth, but it has nothing to do with a Nazarite. It's a different word. The idea of a Nazarite, Nazare, simply means separated one. Numbers chapter 6 tells us what that implies. A person would be a Nazarite for a certain season of time. He would separate himself or consecrate himself or dedicate himself to the Lord. In this way, he would let his hair grow long, so that people could see outwardly, hey, this guy is living in a state of separation. Now, long hair wasn't styling back then. Fabio wasn't around in those days. The Beatles hadn't yet left their impact on culture. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul would say, "Does not nature itself teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair?" Long hair, you see, is unnatural in those days because it would just get in the way of a work, of the work that a man would do. Men worked with their hands. Men were farmers and what have you. Hair would just get in the way if it was long and flowing down, you see. So Paul says, nature teaches you this, that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Doesn't say God declares you shouldn't have long hair, but it's just not natural in light of what you guys do, Paul would say. And so men didn't have long hair, but a Nazarite did. And it would be considered sort of a shameful thing in some ways. It wasn't hip, it wasn't styling, it wasn't cool, it wasn't wow. It wasn't Hollywood. It was like, whoa, what's with you? Well, I'm a Nazarite, you see, and that's why my hair is flowing down my back. It's because, you see, I'm separated unto the Lord, and it's a mark outwardly of the dedication that I have for the Lord spiritually, for a season of time. And you were not to touch any dead body. That is, nothing dead you were to touch. You were not to become ceremonially defiled by touching a corpse. And you were not to be intoxicated with wine or strong drink. In fact, just to make sure that you didn't tempt yourself, you were to stay away from grapes, raisins, vineyards, the whole kit and caboodle. Don't even hang around places that might tempt you to say, well, you know, the alcoholic content is only 0.001%. You know, it's near beer or whatever they have today. It's not really that bad, and so, hey, it's okay. No, God knows the way that we fudge stuff. God knows the way that we justify stuff, and so he just says, look, get the point. I don't want you intoxicated, so stay away from not only wine, but grapes too, and raisins for that matter. Just stay away from the whole thing. I don't want you, when you're in that place of dedication and consecration, to become confused because of intoxication, you see. So that's what a Nazirite was to do for a season of time. Now, Samson's different than that, though, because he is one of the few people in history that was to be a Nazirite, not for a season of time, but for a lifetime. From the day that he was born until the day that he would die, he was to be in this place of separation. Most people would just become a Nazirite for 6 months or perhaps a year, and then they would cut their hair and go back to a normal lifestyle. But not so with Samson. He was to be a Nazirite from the day he was born throughout all the days of his life. Interesting, because this word Netzer, N-E-Z-E-R, Nazirite, not only means Nazirite, separated one, but it's also translated in the Bible as crown, which relates to the head. Keep that in mind, because the sign of a Nazirite was, hey, your hair. You know, you're crowned with this hair. And Samson, as you know the story, is going to start kind of messing with his hair a bit. And it's a hair-raising tale, actually. But it's interesting that that is a second translation of that same word, as seen, for example, in Psalm 89, verse 39. So the Lord says to Manoah's wife, hey, good for you, lucky day. You're going to have a son. He's going to be used by God. He's to be a Nazirite from the day of his birth. Well, the woman, verse 6, came and told her husband, saying, a man of God came to me. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible or awesome. But I asked him not from whence he was, neither told me he his name. He was an awesome being, but I didn't ask him who he was. Yet he said to me that I'm going to conceive and bear a son, and to now therefore drink no wine or strong drink, or don't eat any unclean thing, for the child is to be a Nazirite from the womb all the way till the day of his death. Manoah, verse 8, then prayed. He didn't say when his wife came to him that day, hey, I had an encounter with an angel or with something. God spoke to me. The husband didn't say, you've been drinking your bathwater, woman. What's wrong with you? See, women often hear from the Lord in ways that men don't. Guys, listen. Your wives oftentimes have a greater sensitivity to the things of the Lord than we do, quite frankly. There's an innate sensitivity. There's a receptivity. Generally speaking, I've observed over many years that it's true that women tend to move in that arena easier than men do. Men seem to be kind of tripped out on logic and kind of holding back if something doesn't make sense and all of that. Women seem to have a greater sensitivity in those ways. And here is where Manoah did well. He didn't just dismiss her, oh, my crazy wife. She's always having visions or dreams or words from the Lord. But rather, he asked the Lord and said, oh Lord, let this man of God, which thou didst send, come again to us and teach us what we shall do to the child that shall be born. He didn't just blow her off, but rather he went to the Lord and said, Lord, I'd like some confirmation. Lord, if this is true, if this is so, Lord, send the messenger again that we might know what to do. That's a good, wise husband who takes what his wife shares, doesn't blow it off, doesn't dismiss it out of hand, but rather seeks the Lord and says, Lord, hey, if this be so, send the messenger again to us. So God hearkened, verse 9, to the voice of this husband, Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman. I like this. Manoah says, Lord, send the messenger back to us. God says, okay. And he sent the messenger, his son, if you would, back to the woman again. Because you see, the woman was sitting in the field. Now, this would be the position of a woman. He would obviously be engaged in more physical activities, and her job would be different than that. And consequently, could it be that in this phrase, The woman sat in the field. That's part of the reason perhaps why women perhaps are more sensitive to or recipients of the things of the Spirit. Because guys tend to not want to sit. We don't tend to like to sit. You know, we're always wanting to do something. And the lady here, Manoah's wife, was there sitting in the field. And sure enough, the angel of the Lord comes back as she sat, but Manoah wasn't with her. He was off doing his job. Well, she made haste and ran and found her husband, verse 10, and said, "Behold, the man hath appeared to me that came to me the other day." And Manoah arose. This is a word from the Lord for perhaps many husbands here tonight, and went after his wife. He followed his wife. You know, we have a tendency to say, "Woman, follow me." But oftentimes, I need to hear what the Lord is saying to Tammy and follow after her. God gives us these wonderful completers, fellas, and I think it's unwise to not give heed to the things which the Lord is showing to our wives. So Manoah, he arose, went after her, and he came to the man and said, are you the man that spoke to the woman?" And he said, "I am." Interesting phrase. And Manoah said, "Well, now let thy words come to pass." Good, this is grand. My wife's going to have a baby. This is wonderful. It's miraculous. "How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him?" Good, Manoah. Right question. Wonderful. He says, "How are we supposed to raise this child? How are we supposed to raise this special miracle baby that you're sending our way?" See, this is a real key. All of you that are parenting or will be parenting, listen. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. It doesn't say, train up my children in the way that I think they ought to be, but to train up a child in the way that he or she should go. What are you suggesting, John? Just this. The Lord has made each of my five kids uniquely. My job as a parent is not primarily to train up my kids in the way that I think that they ought to be, but to discover how God made them, the gifts God gave to them, the inclinations and personality, characteristics and bents, you see. I'm really convinced in my own experience and just watching folks over the years that parenting is not so much a matter of molding children as it is unfolding children. I need to train up my kids in the way that he or she should go. That is, Lord, how did you make Peter? And how did you make Jesse? And how did you make Christy? And how did you make Mary Elizabeth? And how did you make Ben? They're your children, Lord, and help me to discover what you want to do in them and with them and through them and for them individually. Now, certain things are non-negotiable, obviously. Teaching our kids the word, teaching our kids to pray, obviously. But there are many things in which we have really got to say, Lord, how should this child go? And what should that child do? And Manoah here is wise when he says, how shall we order this child? What should we do, Lord, in light of this blessing you're sending our way? Verse 13, the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her beware. Hey, all that I told her to do, make sure that she does just what I told her to. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine, nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Mom and Dad, listen to me, or future parents, or grandpa, grandma. This applies to us too, really. How do you want me to raise the child? And the angel of the Lord says, take care of yourself. You don't drink wine, Mom. You stay away from the unclean thing, you see. How do you want the kid raised? The issue isn't the kid, the issue is you. You be a godly woman. You be a godly man. It's the best thing that you can do for your children or your grandchildren too, is not so much to say, well, now how should I raise them? But rather the angel of the Lord says, hey, you, mom, stay away from intoxicating things. You stay away from unclean stuff. Interesting. The question was, how should we raise this kid? And the answer was, you live holy. You take heed to yourself. And see, this is a real problem, because moms and dads like you and me, we can say, well, I'm not going to allow my kids to watch that, or my kids to listen to that, or my kids to go there, because they're not mature. This is for mature audiences only. Now, I'm mature, so I can go, you see. Ooh. See, this is a real danger, and it's a real issue, because we think, well, my kids can't do that, but I can. My kids can't go there, but I will. Wait a minute. That can be a huge, huge problem in your parenting, in my parenting, in our parenting. Because it's really who you are that's going to affect your kids more than what you say. It's who you are when they're not around, when they don't know, when they can't see. It's who you are personally that will spill over to who they'll become ultimately. Best thing you can do, mom, for your daughter, your son, best thing you can do, dad, for your children, is to take care of your own walk. See, so the angel of the Lord says, you're asking me how to parent? You, parents, you stay away from the unclean thing, and you stay away from that which would be intoxicating and cause you to lose your equilibrium, you see. Careful that you observe this yourself, you see. So Manoah, verse 15, said to the angel of the Lord, well, I pray thee, stay with us, and we will have made ready a kid or a goat for thee. Let's have a barbecue. Well, the angel of the Lord said, though you detain me, I will not eat of your bread. And if you offer a burnt offering, offer it to the Lord, Jehovah. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. So Manoah, verse 17, said to this angel of the Lord, what is your name, that when your sayings come to pass, we may do you honor? What is your name, sir? So when this miracle happens, when the baby comes, we can honor you. The angel, verse 18, said to Manoah, why askest thou thus after my name? Why are you asking my name? Seeing it is secret, and the word secret there literally is wonderful. Why are you asking my name? It's wonderful. Isaiah 9, verse 6 says, his name shall be what? Wonderful. Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Why are you asking my name? It's wonderful. That's who I am.
Isn't that the truth? His name is wonderful. This must have been a mind-blowing experience for Manoah and his wife, talking face to face with the Lord. We'll continue to look at this story on our next program, so please join us then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.